Well, let's begin with prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you for this time to gather, Lord, and to study your word, to be students, Lord, of your word, to, Lord, be able to answer the questions when people ask us, well, why do you believe and what is it that you believe? And God, we need to know. We need to know to be able to give them an answer, as your word says. We need to know for our own Lord's solidity and just that, Lord, that security in you. And so, Lord, we thank you for this time to be able to study. And, Lord, as we've looked at these topics that we have been looking at, Lord, we pray that you would get us, Lord, into that place where, Father, we are solid, that we are growing, that we are maturing. And that we understand who it is that we are and what it is that you've called us to do and what being a Christian is all about, Lord. So we pray that you would teach us by your Holy Spirit in this time, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, I already kind of told you that. Verse 3, John's writing here and he says, "Now by this we know that we know him. If we," what's it say there in your Bible? "Keep his commandments." The topic is what? Obedience, right? "He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. And the true light is already shining. And he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." There are three kinds of people or groups of people that you, whenever you are teaching or preaching, pastors run into in any audience that I'm speaking to. The first group of people are people that are made up of those who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. On any given Sunday morning, Wednesday night, there are those people in attendance. The second group of people are those who know the Lord, but they're not sure that they know the Lord. They know the Lord, but they don't know that they know the Lord, or don't know much of the Lord they claim to know. And then there are those who not only know the Lord, but know that they know the Lord and are confident in him. You see, they're not only going to heaven, the third group, but they're enjoying the trip. They're having a great time on the way. You know, that's God's desire for us, to go to heaven and not be bummed out and beating ourselves up on the way. But what the Bible say, the joy of the Lord, we looked at Nehemiah a couple weeks ago, is our strength. John here is giving a test. These are the questions. What is the one true test that determines whether or not a man's faith is real or not? What is the word that determines whether or not you're a mere professor of salvation or possessor of salvation? And what is the greatest single thing that God desires from his children? Three questions. That's all that there are on this test that John is setting out here. And guess what? All three have only one answer. And they all have the same answer. And they can all be answered. You're struggling with those questions? They can all be answered with one word. You know what it is? Obedience. Obedience. Listen, no matter what you're giving to God, regardless of what you're doing for God, and no matter where you're going for God, no matter how much you are believing God, if you're not living in obedience to God, it's not enough. That's the goal. That's the home plate, man. We got to get around there, and the desire of that baseball player when he's up to hit the ball, his goal is single. What's that? To get around the bases and ultimately make it home. And we read Jesus saying, as John says here, John sort of echoing him in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You see, what that implies is Jesus is saying, it's not enough to say you love Jesus. It's not enough to believe in Jesus. The bottom line is obedience to Jesus, and that obedience will be demonstrated in love. And if that is flowing from your life, man, you've got a great life. You see, every single aspect of your Christianity hinges on your obedience to God. If you want to be happy spiritually, guess what? That's all about how's your obedience level? How's it going? If you want to be healthy spiritually, how's it going? If you want to live a life that's holy, you see, it's not something that it happens automatically. It's something that happens as you submit increasingly to the Lord. That's the key. So important is it as your assurance depends on your obedience to the Lord. Now, by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He says there in verse 4, I know him and does not keep his commandments and is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected or being perfected in him. You see, John is not only interested in people coming to know the Lord, but he's interested to make certain that the people that know the Lord really know the Lord. And the acid test for that assurance of knowing the Lord is in your obedience. You can't live in disobedience to God, John is saying, and be sure of your salvation at the same time. If there's been no change in your life as a result of you receiving Christ, if things aren't beginning to happen, maybe some of you are brand new in the Lord. Man, if things aren't, the fact of the matter is that you're here. And before you were a Christian, this is the last place you would be on a Thursday night, right? So guess what? You have something going on inside that already is being demonstrated, but that needs to grow. You see, as time passes, that obedience, step at a time, is what provides you with assurance. If you think, hey, I'm saved, and there's nothing that has changed in your life, that's like getting married and telling your wife, guys, hey, I still want to go out from time to time with some of my ex-girlfriends. And I don't want to throw away my black book and phone numbers, and I'm not going to wear the ring, but know that I love you and I'll be faithful to you. Ladies, if that's the case, you know what? You got serious problems. You see, that's what obedience is. John is describing a man whose lips and life go together. You can't have your lips say one thing and your life say another. James is saying the same thing in James chapter 2, verse 18. He says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. There are two things that bear witness that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. You see, and that is your works and your faith. Your faith is shown, though, in your works. And, of course, that those works, part of that is your life speaking the things on your lips as well as the way that you're living. My works bear witness to others that I'm a child of God. Now, listen, I want you to understand this because I think it's really important that you catch this. Because there are those out there that think, well, if I be a really good person and do and give my offering and do a lot of stuff for God, maybe I'll make it to heaven. I'm working to get there. I want you to understand, it is not my works that prove I am saved. It is God's word that proves I am saved. But it is my works that back up my words. You got that? So important that you understand. You're saved by a faith alone, in Christ alone, by nothing else. It's the Word of God working in you that births Christ, you know, salvation, you see. And then, as a result of that, of course, your life has changed. I think the problem with the churches is there's many times too many professing Christians and too few possessing Christians. They walk around and they speak. There's a lot of, as one Chinese said, talky-talky, but not a lot of walky-walky, you know. And that's important. In fact, Jesus, so important is that obedience, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, let me make it clear that it's not good works that save you. Because Jesus went on to say in that very same passage in Matthew 7 in verse 22, there will be many who prophesy and who cast out demons and perform many miracles in that day, but they will not enter the kingdom of God. You see, it's not our works that save us. There are those that have works that look good, that look very holy. But you know what? They don't know the Lord, you see. Good works don't save me. But because I'm saved, because I put my faith in Jesus Christ and in the finished work of the cross, the works that come from my life issue forth out of obedience and love for God. And that's what John is saying. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is being perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Charles Finney, one of the greatest revival preachers ever known, said this, and I quote, revival is nothing less than a new beginning of obedience to God. Whereas mind and conscience may assent to truth or may agree with truth, when revival comes, obedience to the truth is the one thing that matters. You know, what many Christians need is not reassurance. What they need is revival. That's the thing that I have to look at this country and I say, hey, there's a lot of people that talk the talk. There's a lot of people that know a lot of stuff about God and a lot of stuff about the Bible and can rattle off texts and that claim to be Christians. And listen, if the percentage that they say, like 80% of people believe in Jesus Christ and claim faith in Christ and we're in the condition we're in, you know what that tells me? We got a problem. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of speaking about Christ and talk about heaven and that kind of a thing. But there's not a lot of people that are living like God wants them to live. And there are no substitutes for obedience. Things won't substitute, you know. Some people think, well, I go to church, so that makes me a Christian. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. Any more than walking in your garage makes you a car. I mean, listen, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Doing good deeds don't make you a Christian. Stewardship, giving your tithe. No substitute, folks, for obedience. It's something that we really have a huge gap in people's lips and what they say and their lives today increasingly. Even your service isn't a substitute for obedience to God. I mean, suppose you told one of your kids, hey, you know what, go in the kitchen and then if you're married, you know, and go in the kitchen and clean up the sink and do the dishes. And you told one of your kids that, and then you walked out. And guess what? They're not doing the dishes. They're wiping down the cupboards and mopping the floor. Well, it's great that they are wiping down the cupboards and mopping the floor. But guess what? Did they obey what you told them to do? No. You see, they go, well, I don't really like doing the dishes and cleaning the sink. So here's my way of doing. But you didn't obey what I asked you to do. That's a problem. Obedience to God is not doing anything for God. It's doing the right thing for God. Okay? And that's key. Obedience is doing what God wants you to do, when God wants you to do it, where God wants you to do it, the way God wants you to do it. And that's very important. Obedience really is a test of our own position in Christ. I mean, how do you know if Jesus is in you and if you are in Jesus? John says this one test will suffice, and that is you keep his commandments. And you got to obey God and do it his way. Live life his way. A lot of people do stuff that they say they're doing for God, but God didn't ask them to do it. God hasn't called them to do it. They're doing their own thing. On a tombstone were written these words. You call me master, or on a castle rather, you call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, then blame me not. A lot of people talk about Jesus and they, oh, he was a good person. All the good things that he did. And you know what? You probably won't run into many people that when you say Jesus' name are going to say, that guy was a moron, he was an idiot, they're not going to say that. They're going to say, well, when you ask him, what do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe he was a good person. But you know what? Is he Lord and Savior? Because if he's not your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter how good of a person he was. The sacrifice on the cross is the key, you see. And our assurance that we are in Christ, according to John here, is that we have believed that. And as a result, our lives are being changed. So our assurance depends on our obedience. And number two, our attitude depends on our obedience. There in verse 5, but whoever keeps his word. That word keeps there, it means to closely guard something or to cherish as one would cherish a treasure. Kind of like a guy who gets a brand new car. You get that brand new car, and it's the one you've always wanted, right, guys? And then you park it way out in the North 40, and you're very careful. You know, you don't want it to get dinged, dented. You're cleaning it up until, you know, the first time it does get dinged, when you park it out in the North 40 and come out to find somebody let a shopping cart go, and the wind blew it into it. But you treasure stuff. You see, that's what he's talking about here as it applies to the Word of God. Whoever keeps his Word, you treasure it up. The commands and the Word of God is given to us that we might treasure these things in our heart. That's why David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not," what? "Sin against you." That's why we spend time studying God's Word. And that word goes in and obedience comes out. Now, your attitude in obeying God, there are some. I mean, that's God's intention, but there are some that obey outwardly and they're keeping the rules, but inwardly, they're little rebels. God says, hey, you need to treasure these things and love them and keep them and not, you know, oh, I got to do that too. Oh, I just read, oh man, I got to do that too. You see, this is a man who had to discipline his son for misbehaving, and he made him sit down in a corner. And the father walked by him a little bit later and saw just this mad look on his face. Just kind of gave him a look. And the father said, well, what's that? He says, well, I just want you to know, Dad, that I'm sitting down on the outside, but on the inside, I'm standing up. You know what? Sometimes that's the way it is, isn't it? We put on the good stuff here and make us look good. And oh, look at how I'm obeying God at church and we're serving. Oh, can I get you this? Can I help you here? Oh, praise the Lord. And then, you know what? When we get in the car, when we get out of here, man, the real deal comes out. The attitude is manifest for all to see. And the family, the kids, look at the contradiction and the hypocrisy. And man, that you want to make a mess of your family, you live like that. That's guaranteed you'll make a mess of your family. You see, God cares about our motives, why you're doing what you're doing. And there's three motives that a person can have for obeying someone. We can obey someone because we have to, like the little boy, have to. Doesn't impact the attitude at all. Okay, I'll do it, but I'm hating my life, and I don't like that you're making me do it. You can obey someone because you need to. You know what? The boss tells you something. You need to, right? You got to feed the family. You got to pay the bills. I got to do this. I need to do this. And then, of course, we can obey someone because we want. You know, it's like that first love relationship when you're going out with, you know, your girlfriend at the time, who may be your wife now, or your boyfriend who may be your husband, and they just said, oh, I wish I could get that, and wouldn't it be nice if you know my yard was mowed or something, and next thing you know, you're out there mowing it, not because you have to, not because you need to. But because I want to, I love her, you know, and that's the kind of thing. You see, that's the kind of obedience God wants. It's about our attitude. And it's all about our love for God. We obey God because we want to obey God, because we love God, and we understand His love for us. And the more we love Jesus, the more we want to obey Jesus. And the more we realize how much Jesus loves us, the more, of course, we love Him for loving us. And it just is a cycle that grows and grows and grows. And we get closer and closer, and we obey increasingly. None of us can say what was said of Jesus when it said he does always things that please the Father. Hey, none of us are sinless, right? But hopefully, as we grow in the Lord, as we understand His love for us through His Word and His grace towards us, and how kind and just awesome He is to us, and what He did on the cross for us, it causes us to love Him more. And love, of course, seeks to please the one who is loved. And so our attitude is, hey, not I have to do this for God, right? But I get to do this for God. I get to do this. Not to get saved, but because I am saved. I get to serve the Lord. I get to love the Lord. I get to serve in the ministry here. That's why we go out and share the gospel with people. We don't share the gospel with people because we have to share the gospel with people, hopefully. Or I gotta go out. Pastor's been telling us, share the gospel. Command, go into all the world, preach the gospel. So here I go. Where's a non-Christian? Where's somebody? And these people. You know what, man? Our attitude ought to be in our love. You see, the obedience in soul winning ought to be like a woman, a lady who has just got engaged, and she's got the ring, right? And guess what? She doesn't go, I got to show them the ring. Okay, hey, look at the ring. No. She walks around going, so how are you? Do you know? I mean, she is excited about letting people know, letting people see, because the love there is growing, and it now has moved into a place where they're engaged, and there's that just that longing to tell people. You see, that's the way our obedience ought to be to God. Not because we have to win souls, not because we have to go out there. We don't love lost people like we ought to many times, is the reason. And the reason for that is because we don't love Jesus like we ought to. Jesus told us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you love someone, and the people that you run into at work, that you work alongside at school, your friends, your family members, you know, if they don't love Jesus, you know they're on their way to hell. Did you care? Do you care about that? You see, love cares. And so that's what Jesus was saying to Peter. Here he says in John 21, when he asked him, he says, Peter, do you love me? After Peter failed miserably, Lord, I love you more than all these, and if all the rest of these deny, not me, I'll never deny you, Lord. And then he denied him three times. And then the next time we see the camera focus on Peter's encounter with Jesus, he says, hey, Peter, do you love me? In other words, do you love me more than all these and everything else? Lord, no, you know I like you. And what did he tell him to do? Feed my sheep. He said to him again, hey, Peter, do you love me? You love me like a brother? No, Lord, I like you. Feed my sheep. Three times he denied him. Three times Jesus asked him, do you love me? Jesus didn't say, do you love my sheep? Did he? You see, if you love me, what will you do? You will feed my sheep. If you love me, you will go preach the gospel and be obedient to me. If you love me, you see, that's the key. The only qualification for serving God in the kingdom is a love for Jesus Christ. And if you love Christ, you know what? All these other things, they're a byproduct. So attitude depends on obedience and assurance. And then finally, and I'll do real quick here, our actions, of course. He goes on here and he says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. How did Jesus live? Our lives ought to increasingly look like his. If we are abiding in Jesus, we are going to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, love like Jesus, live like Jesus. It all comes from what? Abiding. That's where this love happens. You say, well, how do I grow in love for Jesus and then have the right actions and attitude and have this assurance and move into a greater obedience? Abiding. Staying put. Hanging out with the Lord. Listen, man. I've got some fruit trees in my backyard. Those fruit trees are producing fruit on a regular basis. Okay? Now, if I took those fruit trees and said, you know what, I'm going to move this and moved it here. And then in a few months, I took it out. You know, I'm going to move it again and I'm going to move it here. And no, I don't like really the way it is there. I'm going to move it here. What's going to happen to the harvest of fruit in that tree, on that tree? If you're going to get anything, I mean, you might even kill it, right? You're not going to get much fruit. It's going to be stubble, and you may get a few leaves, but that tree is in shock when it's moved and moved and moved all over the place. But if that tree stays fixed, it gets water, it gets nutrients, guess what? Fruit comes as a result. And fruit doesn't come. Yeah, thank God I don't hear the tree at night producing fruit. When I go to bed, oh, there goes a peach. Oh, Just think of it grunted and made all kinds of noises at fruit trees. Just think of what it would be like to live by an orchard at night. Can you imagine? Ah, oh, man. Oh. That's not the way fruit comes, does it? No. You know what, man? If that tree just stays put right there in that spot, guess what, man? Fruit is the natural result. Life is the natural result. Listen, God has provided everything for you and me to obey him, to live our lives for him. But the key is we've got to abide in him. We've got to hang out with him. And we've got to spend time with him. And you know what? If you do that, and that by way of getting into the Word on a regular basis in your life personally, that means a staying in fellowship, a fixed, listen to this, fixed in one church. Figure out where God's called you and stay. Don't be church hopping all over the place. That's, you get plugged into one body, then you go, I'm moving. Over here, and you wonder why you got problems in your life personally and family and why you're not connected and why the church doesn't feel very loving. Because you haven't stayed put. That's why. And no fruit. You can't really be used in the Lord and serving the Lord in any capacity, really, if you continue to do that. And you're not going to be happy and enjoying what God desires for you by the way of growing holy. That's not going to happen if you keep moving. Stay put. Dig in. Pray about. That's why it's important that you pray about where God wants you. And then, you know, as soon as there's any little problem, sometimes it's funny how the sheep are, man. As soon as there's any little problem, well, we feel God's called us here. But then there's something that they don't like that happened. We're out of here. Boom. You know what? That's the kind of society we live in, tragically, and they're doing it in marriages and everything else. That's a mess. It'll make a mess. You won't have any fruit. At the end of your life, you'll have a bunch of plots here and there and the places where you were planted at one time, but you'll never really grow. And that holiness that God desires and designs will never really show because you're not staying plugged in. You're not abiding in the Lord. Staying fixed in him. Digging and sinking your roots deeply into him. And there are times in your Christian life, because some of you younger believers, you know what? There's going to be times in your Christian life where, you know what, man? It's like winter. The trees, my trees, the orchard out in the backyard that doesn't make noise when they produce fruit, that stay in one place and do produce fruit. Right now, Right now, the peach trees, there ain't nothing on them. They look dead. They look dead, but they're not dead. You know what's going on right now? We know by study that right now, it seems like nothing is going on by way of appearance, you see. And sometimes that happens in our Christian life. We go, that's it, I'm not going to obey. I'm going to just do my... No, don't do that. Stay plugged in. Hang in there. You see, what those trees are doing right now is digging their roots more deeply into the soil to gather more nutrients for a greater crop. Those seasons come in our lives. You know what, man? It's something that happens. And don't think God's not there just because you don't feel Him. You see, it's not about feelings, is it? We have feelings, and we don't deny that. But it's not about living according to our feelings. When, there's times where we feel like doing something God's called us to do. Great, enjoy it. There's times where we don't feel like doing something God's called us to do. That's where we need to do what? Deny ourselves, take up the cross, be willing to suffer. Our flesh is going, no, do what you feel, man. No, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to obey God. And you know what? You're going to reap the reward of living in that place. You see, it's all about hanging out with Jesus, really. It's not, sometimes when we hear obedience, we go, I got to try this, and I got to try that, I got to work on this, and I got to work on that. And listen, it's really not that way. And let me give you a little picture, and then I'm done. Little picture to close. When I was growing up, there were things, and don't misunderstand me, I love my dad dearly. There were some great things and great qualities about him. Man, he was a hard worker, committed, and just wanted to make a good living for his family. He was a man of integrity by way of things financially. He was responsible, paid his bills on time, got with it there, didn't spend money he didn't have. Hard-working guy. But there were some things that he did. There were some things that he said to me, to my mom. There were some ways that he approached us that I go, I hate it when he does that. I will never do that. I will never say that to my kids. I will never say that to my wife. I would never treat them that way. Guess what? Here's the deal. Hanging around him, I found myself, I picked up his strengths, okay? I did pick up his strengths. But guess what I also picked up? His sin. And I found myself saying the very same words, especially with my daughter, Jacqueline. Why did I say, I can't believe I said, I didn't want to say, I swore I'd never say that. And here I am, and here I'm behaving in this way. And I, what am I doing? I hated it when he did that. God save me. You know what I find out? Find myself doing things I didn't want to do just as a result of hanging out with him. I found myself in a battle. Here's the good news. You say, I got to work on all this. No, you just hang out with Jesus, and guess what? You'll pick up all his strengths. Just hang out with him. Just hang out with his people, hang out with him, and just spend time in his word. You'll pick up all the strengths just by hanging out, and you'll find yourself doing stuff that I remember when I thought, I'm not ever going to raise my hands in church. Some of these guys are a little wacko. I'm a Christian, and I'm cool and everything, but I'm not going to walk around going, hey, praise the Lord, man, that's awesome. Not me, man. I'm cooler than that. I'm just going to be a reserved Christian. But you know what happened? Hanging out with Jesus, guess what? I found myself raising my hands. I found myself saying, praise the Lord! I found myself doing things I never planned to do by way of living a godly life just by hanging out with Him. Hang out with Jesus, man. Stay rooted and grounded in His Word, and that changing process will happen as you don't follow your feelings, but in faith, obey Him with the right attitude. It'll lead to the right activity and to that security. You'll be assured that you're His child. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You for these precious lives here. Thank You, Lord, for drawing them to Yourself and now, Lord, strengthening them in their faith in You. Their desire, Lord, is such a blessing to me to be those who are building their lives on a solid foundation and to dig into Your word to get that foundation, Lord. And that's what it's all about, Lord. The words that You speak, they are spirit and they are life, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we would continue to grow, that You would continue to plant in our lives that fruit of Your spirit, Lord, and just giving us, Lord, that longing not only to know Your word, but Lord, to show Your word and Your life to others. And God, it really grows out of a result of a love for You. So Lord, may our love for You grow. May our, Lord, understanding of what obedience is, may we know what to do because we know who You are and we know what pleases You. And so we know, Lord, what's right, we know what's wrong. And Lord, may we be those who live in obedience, Lord, to bring You glory and honor. And Lord, that our lives might be so filled, Lord, with Your love and Your life that others would come to know the saving grace and the work that was done for them on the cross through Jesus. And we'll give You the thanks for it, for we ask it in His name. Amen.